Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Melissa McLaughlin, fulfilled her dream of teaching in the public schools for 28 years. Her career ended much sooner than she had hoped following a difficult health issue. When she retired, she began a new career as a writer. Among many other accomplishments, Melissa has led several Bible studies through the years, currently hosts the Christian blog Truthful Grace, and has authored a prayer guide titled In the Dark of Night When Words Fail, Voice of Jesus, Pray for Me. Good morning, Melissa. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning, Patty. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Melissa, I'm delighted to have you here this morning. I know you have a wonderful message to share, and I'm going to let you tell your story. So first of all, tell us about your teaching career and the ways it was fulfilling for you.
Oh, my. I loved teaching. I loved kids, of course. I still love kids. First of all, it kind of begins with that, of course. I just find that children bring curiosity and wonder and delight and joy to life. And so I find enjoyment just spending time with children. And then the other part of teaching that I loved the most was just that I love to learn. So being part of the learning process as a teacher was just so fulfilling to me when you get to find ways to express something or explain something or give an example or use a concrete lesson to get the concept across. And then you see that light bulb go off in the child's eyes and the joy that they have in learning. There is just nothing like it. I loved being a teacher. I loved spending time with the kids and just experiencing part of the learning process. So as you mentioned, I was a teacher in the public schools for 28 years, and it was just wonderful. It really was. And it was also something that I had dreamed of. I dreamed of being a teacher since I was a child. So then when I went to college and I was able to get my degree as a teacher and get some additional certificates through my master's program, and I was able to, by the grace of God, use all of those certificates over the course of the 28 years in different grade levels, in different specialty areas and special education. And I just got to view the education process through many different environments and class settings. And it just was so wonderful and fulfilling. I loved it.
It sounds like you had a wonderful, fulfilling career, Melissa. And I wanted to ask, what grades did you teach? Did you teach from little kids clear up to high school level, or what was your main focus of age group?
Good question. Yes, I taught, I was certified in elementary education, and that was K through 8, special education, okay. K through 12, and as a reading specialist, K through 12. But primarily, I worked in the elementary setting, although I did some teaching in the middle school level. But most of my time was spent in the elementary setting. I did teach kindergarten first, third, fourth, and had some experience with the other grades in the special education setting as well. So I really got to experience teaching and learning from lots of different levels. And it really was just exciting. With the young ones, you got to see them as they were learning their letters and first learning to read. It was like a whole new door opened in their life. But then I also enjoyed the older elementary years because the students could already read and write. So then you were really getting into the deeper nuances of reading and writing and solving problems in math. So I enjoyed each level for different reasons. It was a wonderful career.
I can hear the excitement in your voice, Melissa, and it's fascinating to talk to someone like you who has such a positive attitude toward the career, because I know from talking with other people that in today's teaching environment, there are a lot of challenges. and many teachers are quite discouraged. So it's just really exciting to talk to you and hear your enthusiasm for the profession. So I'm so glad that it was a great fit for you. So what happened that ended your future plans in teaching? You, boy, you were right in your element, but all of a sudden something happened. Tell us about that.
Yes. I had struggled with back issues, health issues with my back since I was a teenager. I don't know, it was probably late 30s, early 40s. I ended up requiring a back surgery for mm-hmm. some of the deterioration in the discs in my back, and there's some other complications. And gratefully, thankfully, I was able to recover and heal and slowly return to all of my activities, even my teaching position. But when I got to, it was right about age 50, I had another just terrible setback, debilitating. I wasn't able to drive or sit or lean over a student's desk. I couldn't, you know, carry a teacher's manual. Just everything I did was excruciatingly painful. So I returned it to my doctor who had successfully performed back surgery before, thinking that, oh, I'll just have another surgery. But he said this time with the different complications and the impairments that had already occurred that I was no longer a candidate for the surgery this time. He sent me to a pain management specialist, and together with physical therapy and pain management, medications, back braces, everything, they were able to, you know, work with me. But basically, I had to live my life differently, which included taking an early retirement, which I was just crushed by it. I really was. So, yeah, that's what brought that to a screeching halt. And it was a twist and a turn in the road that I wasn't expecting. I didn't want it. I was not welcoming that. And I just couldn't see, you know, we know the Bible verse, you know, the Lord God is working out all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And I was like, how can any of this be good? I just couldn't see God's hand in any of it, beginning with just the level of pain, the debilitating pain, and then all of the loss that came as a result of that. So that's what brought it to a halt, was it was ongoing back problems that just took a turn for the worse.
Oh, it sounds like that was just a devastating experience for you, Melissa, and you suffered a lot of losses in your life during that time. Not only did you lose your career, but I'm sure you lost a lot of your physical functioning. You were in pain all the time, and it probably affected your relationships with people and so many things in your life. So how did this affect your faith journey? I know you said, how can this be good, God? Where did you go with your faith journey from there through all this turmoil and frustration and just plain... God, what are you doing here? Feeling.
Absolutely. Boy, you've captured it well. That's exactly how I was feeling. And it just, part of it, it just begins too with like the chronic excruciating pain. So I just want to say that if there's anyone listening who is listening right now, either lying in bed or sitting somewhere and you're in excruciating chronic pain, I just want you to know my heart goes out to you right now. Because that alone is just, you end up feeling like, I'm just trying to get through, not just today, but like, how can I get through the next hour? Or how can I even get through the next couple of minutes? Because that's like, it just consumes your energy, just surviving. You're like in a survival mode with the level of pain. So that alone just like clouds and overshadows everything else, just the pain itself. But then you're right, there's all the loss then that happens, the loss with your functioning, the loss with your independence. In this case, you know, I had to let go of my job, which I loved, my teaching career. And then with that also, the Lord uncovered something through that process, and that was that I didn't realize this until I went through this, that a lot of my identity was also actually tied up in my job. It's not I mean, it's not all a bad thing. I mean, when God has given you gifts and a calling and you feel like you're using those gifts and you're walking in that calling, which is what I felt with my teaching career, there is a sense of accomplishment and fulfilling your purpose that God has called you to. And so that part is good. But then it can go too far, which is where I was, where my identity was wrapped up in that. And there was, you know, self-reliance in that and self-fulfillment in that, that was becoming too big of a part of who I was. And so one of the losses that I felt was just the loss of my identity, feeling like, well, what was my purpose? And how was God going to use my life? And just really not having my identity fully anchored in, you know, our identity really begins with that God created us and we are made in his image and he loves us and he sent his son to die for our sins so that we can be cleansed and be brought into his family and used for his kingdom purposes. And that's really my identity. And my identity is wrapped up in my God and my Savior and the Holy Spirit who's working inside of us. And that's my full dependence and my full reliance on him, not self-reliance and not self-fulfillment. And so God really peeled back a layer of something that had not been good. And that was where I was placing my identity. And so that was painful to discover, because I really felt lost, you know, empty and kind of worthless, honestly, after having been walking in this very fulfilling career. So there were a lot of losses that I was facing, the loss of my health, the loss of my career, and really floundering with my identity. So yes, naturally, my faith really was affected by this. I, of course, was asking God, what are you doing? And how can this be good? And you're the God who heals. You're the God who can do everything. You're the God who healed me in the past through my previous surgery. Like, why can't you heal me now? So I just had a lot of questions for God. But all of that, again, was really also just wrapped within that and intertwined in all of that was just the pain and the suffering. And so you kind of can't see your way out of that. So I just really, thankfully, by the grace of God, I did not lose my faith. Like, I never stopped believing in the God who is my Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God. I never gave up my Christian faith, but I was really crying out and just in pain and questioning and wondering and feeling alone and feeling abandoned between the physical pain and just the emotional loss, and then the spiritual pain. It just was a heartbreaking, really heartbreaking time. And in the course of that, I just felt like I lost my voice to even pray, that I just didn't have any words left. Like the heaviness of all of the pain and the suffering was just silencing my voice. Felt like, again, that I lost my voice to pray, which was kind of like losing a lifeline to the Lord. So it had a big impact on me.
It sounds like you really went through a very difficult time, Melissa, and I'm sure you experienced a considerable amount of depression even, and just, as you mentioned, a sense of worthlessness and helplessness and hopelessness, and it must have been an extremely dark time for you, and I'm so sorry that you went through that. So now tell us the bright side. How did you come out of all of this pure difficulty? And I can't even think of a good word to describe what you went through because it sounds absolutely horrible.
Well, thank you for your compassion and for your listening heart. And you're right. It really was a dark, dark time. There were so many elements that impacted me that really helped. One, of course, was just the faithful love of my husband and my family and my church family, you know, just to me and praying with me and just the ministry of presence, just being present with me. And I remember when I was at that moment where I had to decide to actually give up my career, one of the things that my husband said to me was, you know, you're more important than the money that you make. And that I really needed to hear that because, again, I think so much of my identity was tied up in that I have this job, I earn money, I'm contributing, I'm just my life has a purpose, kind of, on many levels. But when he reminded me that I'm more important than the money, I'm more important than the job, that just really struck a chord deep within me. And in addition, the surgeons and some of the doctors had given me warnings in the past saying that if I didn't make changes to my life, that I might, you know, I might be in a wheelchair because of the different deterioration in my discs, in the discs in my back and things. And so I knew the reality was I could become a burden to my family. So I just had all of these different understandings like facing me, the idea of being a burden to my family, the idea of no longer having that income, but my husband reminding me that I'm more important than the money. And it's so true. So one of the things that really helped was just my husband really anchoring me in who I am and where my worth lies. My worth, I have worth because it's given by God. It's not given by what I do. So that really was a really big turning point for me in just letting go and just, you know, beginning a new life, first of all, with physical healing and just all of the, just really learning to live differently and taking, you know, obviously with teaching, it's a very physical task. It may not sound like it to someone who's not a teacher, but it's actually very physical. There's lots of bending over, if with young children, bending over, leaning over, bending down, tying shoes, all kinds of things.
Sure, but, most definitely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so now I was learning to take care of myself instead. So first of all, there was just the physical healing. And because I was no longer teaching and working and keeping up that frenzied physical pace of teaching, and together with the doctors and the physical therapists and everything, I was beginning to have the pain lessening. It still was at a point where I couldn't have returned to teaching, but it was lessening. So there was just, the Lord was using the love of my husband and my family, the kindness of the doctors, you know, who were nursing me back to health. Mm-hmm. And then through that process, I just was continuing to cry out to the Lord, and I began to read the Bible just like my life depended on it. And it really does. And it really did. But in that process, I began collecting Bible verses wherever a Holy Spirit would like illuminate a verse. It would just, you know, how sometimes you're reading and a verse will just jump out to you and catch you, you know, in your heart. So I was collecting.
Yes, it does.
Yes. So I was collecting those verses in a notebook, verses that were really resonating. And sometimes they were verses that were comforting, or maybe sometimes verses of lament. You know, some of the Psalms just really, you know, touched my heart where there's lament. Some of them were words of rejoicing and really focusing on the goodness of God. Some of them were verses where it was just lifting you up. So it was all different kinds of verses that the Holy Spirit was illuminating, and I was, you know, writing these down in a notebook. And I had already experienced through my church and some books and other resources the idea of doing scripture prayers, where you, you know, take a Bible verse and then write in your own words a prayer that reflects the meaning of that verse. And so I began doing that. I began taking these scriptures and writing prayers that reflected the meaning of that verse, but putting that in my own words. And then through that process, collected it into like a complete prayer that began. And what I found for me was that I found there was so much strength for my soul to begin with verses that just talk about the greatness of God, praising God for who he is. And it helped me really lift my eyes off of my sorrow and my disappointment and my loss and lift my eyes up to God and see his greatness and his goodness. And then I put in my scripture prayers verses of thanksgiving, just remembering the things that God has done. So it's first of all, looking at who God is, praising him for that, then thanking him for the things that he has done, again, with scripture verses and prayers. And then, you know, asking for forgiveness, repentance. So I would have a scripture verse of prayer and repentance just to make sure I'm coming to God with a humble heart, an honest heart, you know, a softened yes. heart, so that the, you know, the Holy Spirit can reveal what he needs to reveal to me. And then is when I would bring scripture verses that were addressing the needs of myself, my family, the cries of my heart. Then what I did was I ended with other verses that just strengthened me, reminded me of the power of God. Simple verses like, with God, all things are possible.
Yes, I like that one.
Yes. So reminding me again of God's power that's greater than all of these petitions and requests that I'm bringing to him. So it was just really God leading me through that process. And so through that, I felt like when I earlier felt like my voice had been silenced by the sorrow and the suffering, God was restoring my voice through his word and his spirit. So then it was like I was able to pray again, but now with like new depth and new power and just truth that would anchor me no matter what my circumstances were. So for me, it might not sound like much to someone else, but for me, it was absolutely life-changing.
We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen. My guest today is Melissa McLaughlin, author of In Dark of Night When Words Fail, Voice of Jesus, Pray for Me. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHENE.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Melissa. You know, I wanted to ask you too, Melissa. I'm sure that myself, I've been through some physical therapy for different things. And I wonder if there was a point when you realized that there were interventions that you needed to take that for a long time you really didn't have the energy to take them. I know when I went to physical therapy, it was like, oh man, I do not want to do this. And there were follow-up that I was supposed to be doing at home. And I wonder if through your prayer life, if you didn't gain that strength to follow through with what needed to be done so that you could get better. Is that making any sense? And was that something you experienced?
Absolutely, Patty. Absolutely. So it's almost like as God renews, you know, the Romans, I think it's Romans 12, 1 and 2, when God, as God renews our minds with his word, we gain strength in every area. It's spiritual, it's mental and emotional and physical. And you're right, it gives you new strength to tackle the challenges that are before you. And of course, we know that, you know, our mental outlook and emotional outlook can really affect our physical being. And so by renewing our minds in his word, it's like we have a new outlook and just a new inner strength.
Yes.
Really by walking in step with him, you're right, we can then take some of the physical healing steps that are being encouraged by physical therapists, doctors, whatever. You're right, it's like we can just do life better when we're walking with God.
Yeah, my most recent experience was with a fractured shoulder. Would you believe I went to Israel last November? Thank God it was last November and not this past November. It was November of 2022. My second day, I fell in the hotel room and dislocated and fractured my shoulder. So I got home from the trip, and of course I had to go through physical therapy. And looking back now, I can remember one of the exercises they had you do was called the clock. And you had to slide your arm in a semicircle against the wall. Oh, my goodness. That was so uncomfortable and so painful. And I used to think when I'd go to physical therapy, please don't ask me to do that today. And I knew they were going to. And, of course, I had to do it at home as well. And, oh, man, at home I would cheat. I was supposed to do, like, 5, and it would be those. I can get by with 4. So it does. It takes a lot of stamina and strength and willpower and prayer, I think, to overcome some of those because that pain is just, oh my goodness. And you, the way you talk, I mean, you must have been in absolute despair with what you were experiencing. Me, my pain wasn't probably, mine was probably about a 2 compared to what you were going through, you know? So yeah, I really think that it's the power of God's strength in us that allows us to be able to meet those challenges. And I think you described it very well.
Yes, and I can definitely relate to every word you just said about your physical therapy, and it's also very time consuming. I mean, that's another thing that by no longer teaching, then I could go to physical therapy 4 days a week, you know, for an hour to an hour and a half, and then come home and rest and do whatever they ask me to do. I mean, when you're really in the healing process, it is all consuming in some ways. And so you kind of have to give yourself over to that. But you're right. So it's only by the grace of God and his power and his strength within that we can find the strength and the inner resolve to do what it takes to be in cooperation really with the healing process. But it's hard work. It's hard work.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And yeah, there was that. And I also had foot surgery back in 2020. And I'm not sure which was worse, actually, the therapy for the foot or the therapy for the shoulder. Neither one of them was a lot of fun, but I would say actually the foot was worse, to be honest, because there was all that weight-bearing issue and everything, you know. So, yeah, thank goodness that's in the past for me, and I hope that a lot of what you've dealt with is in the past for you, too.
Right, right. To the debilitating level.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you have reached an optimum level, and that's as good as it's going to get for you. But
right, right.
It sounds like you're not in the excruciating pain state that you were in for so long.
Yes, that is correct. And I thank God for that. And I do, I had a friend who had so many health issues. And I remember I used to say to her, wow, well, my pain is not as bad as your pain. And I remember something that she said to me. So I just want to say this for anyone who's listening, and even a reminder for you and me. And she used to just say, all pain hurts. So it's
right.
You don't have to. She was just encouraging me to not kind of minimize the pain that I was going through. I felt like, wow, she's right. All pain does hurt.
Yes, and also someone else had mentioned to me one time, too, my pain is just as intense and difficult for me to deal with as your pain is for you to deal with.
Yes, yes.
So, Melissa, when did you realize that through all of this, God was leading you down an entirely different path of service to him?
Oh, that is a good question. While I was in the midst of this process of writing down, collecting the scriptures and writing prayers, you know, that reflected the meaning of the scripture and putting all of that together, that actually was probably a 6 to 9 month process from beginning to end. And I was in a Bible study at that time that met here in our home. And I think it might have even been in January. We were kind of setting some spiritual goals as part of the Bible study. And, you know, so we prayed about what did we feel God was asking us to do in the coming year. And after praying about it and having gone through all of that and having, you know, started to find my prayer voice again through God's word, his scripture, the Holy Spirit, I really felt God was asking me to put that down in a book because he really gave a lifeline to me through his word and just restoring my whole life through scripture prayers. I felt like he was, you know, tugging on my heart to write that down so that if there's someone else who's really at a point of total desperation, that they could, you know, also use that process to restore their voice or find God's comfort through scripture prayers. So it was through a Bible study that I really felt like I should do that. So I began to work on that bit by bit. And around the same time, I had just little things on social media. You know, I might write someone a little prayer or something. someone said to me, who had a blog, she said to me, you know, you really have a way with words. Have you? You really should start a blog. Have you ever thought about that? And I had not thought about it. It never entered my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just, you know, the Lord just kind of kept tapping on my shoulder about it. So I just started that, and then slowly but surely met some other Christian writers and was able to be connected with them. And I was able to attend two different Christian writing conferences. Both were online because the travel is so difficult for me. It's not totally impossible, but very difficult. I have my eyes out for the online thing. So I got to attend two Christian writing conferences that were online, and they really just opened up my eyes to everything that was going on in the Christian writing and podcast world, things that I really just wasn't even aware of, honestly. And so it just, like, one step after another, like, it just seemed like the Lord kept opening doors for me. And then it was one of my friends who used to be a teacher where I was teaching, and she read my first book. And one of the things she said to me was, wow, I can see how God has put it all together. He's using your teaching and your writing and your faith, and he's putting it all together with where you're at right now. And when she said that, it was like, oh my goodness, you're right. Look at what God's doing. So
it's an eye-opener. Yeah.
Yes. Total eye-opener, total aha moment, you know, with what I saw the Lord doing. And so when I was crying out to God in the midst of my pain, like, what are you doing? How could this possibly be used for any kind of good? You know, this was several years later. I'm looking mm-hmm. back, and I'm seeing how God could use this, not just to be a blessing and a lifeline to others, but to use my life in a whole new way that I could never have envisioned that. He uses it all. Nothing goes to waste with God.
Nobody ever wants to hear this. But in the midst of a trial like you have been through, if somebody were to say to you, use this to help, you'd be like, who cares? I don't want to be going through this. But when you look back on it and you realize that your experience has brought so much light to other people through your writing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as I said, nobody ever, when they're going through a loss or an illness or some bad news or something, they don't want to hear, yeah, this is going to be really great for you to tell somebody else about someday. You're going to help them through a bad time, and you're thinking, please, I don't want to know about that.
Yeah.
So tell us about your book. I enjoyed it, In the Dark of Night, When Words Fail. Give us more of an overview of it, I guess.
Sure. Well, I kind of told you what the goal is, and that was to explain how to create your own scripture prayer based on whatever, you know, you're going through and whatever God may reveal to you about how his word can encourage you, strengthen you, heal you, whatever the case may be. But I begin the book with a few short scenarios of different experiences that I have gone through that were kind of soul-crushing experiences. Some of them were mm-hmm. with loss, health loss, and losing loved ones. Also not being able to have a child for some years, that can also really just be soul-crushing. And then we had taken a mission trip to Haiti, my husband and I and our children, and that, to see the poverty and the just the starvation, really, that some people are going through. And then you think about everyone here in the United States that's throwing out food because we have more than we want, or we're just tired of it or whatever. And it just, I mean, that for me was also soul crushing, because it was a problem that was too big for me to solve. And I just was like, God, why? This is so painful to, I mean, I knew that it was true, but to see it firsthand and to know the people, it hurts like in another level. So I gave some of these scenarios of things that I had experienced in life that were really, really heartbreaking for me, just to give people help them tap into what were moments when you were heartbroken. Because it's in those very moments when we do often find people are losing their faith, and they feel like,
yes,
how could a good God allow these evil things to happen, or these how could a good God allow this suffering? So I began then, after talking about some of those experiences, and I began just by kind of addressing some of the foundations of our faith to be a touchstone for anybody who is going through a season of suffering or great loss or great sorrow or great pain, so that they can kind of just revisit the foundations of our faith, why, what we believe and why we believe it. So just a little bit of that, touching on Jesus Christ as our foundation. And then from there, I kind of go, so it's kind of looking at, we're going to turn to Jesus, we're going to turn to the Bible, but why would we? Why would we turn to Jesus? Why would we turn to the Bible? Mm-hmm. So just looking a little bit at the why of what we're doing. Then I really just try to walk people through the process of collecting scripture verses that really are touching your heart, inviting the Holy Spirit really to lead you as you're reading the Bible, to reveal things to you, show you, and collect those, then how to write a prayer that reflects the meaning of that verse, and then how to put it together into a whole complete scripture prayer that you can just pray then. And I have these sticky notes hanging up in one of my closets that have one with the verses that I have collected, and then a sticky note beside it or under it with the prayer, the corresponding prayer. Sometimes I will actually go in the closet and kind of read through those, and I may not pray the same prayers each time. I may take what was written and then pray from my heart in a new way, but the framework is all there for me. So I kind of walk people through building that framework so that hopefully they can either, someone is in a point of being totally desperate and feeling like they have no words left to pray, it helps walk them through that process. Or for someone who is really desperate to go deeper with the Lord in prayer, because this, not only did this renew my voice, but it also deepened my relationship with the Lord and my prayer life. Even now, if I'm going through something unexpected or difficult, I have those, and I always had difficulty memorizing scripture, but because I have prayed these scriptures so much, I now have them memorized, so I can speak them wherever I am going through something unexpected or sorrowful, unrelated to, the issues we just talked about. I still have those verses now in me, and I can speak them and pray them. And it just has, I have a new depth to my prayers, a new depth to my relationship with the Lord, and it's anchored deeper than it ever was before. So that's really what the book is. It's not a long book. It's a very short book, and it's intended to be so, something that you could sit down and read through in one reading. There have been a few people that have told me how much it meant to me, and most of the people that have reached out and said how life-changing the book was for them are people that were going through the dark night of the soul. I had a friend who was in stage 4 cancer, and she said it meant so much, this book meant so much to her that she kept it with her Bible. I had a friend who was overcoming childhood abuse and all of the trauma related to that. Same thing. She told me this has meant so much to her that she kept it with her Bible. I had a friend who lost her mother and her sister, like all within about 1 year. So again, it speaks to people who are really hurting or who have really been hurt and need to find the comfort of God in a new way. I pray that it will be that, continue to be that for other people.
Yes, and there is the reward, Melissa, when someone comes to you and says, "Know what your book did for me." Mm. To know that you have gotten that message across is just such a blessing. And I wanted to give a pitch here for your book because, of course, I read it. Thank you for sending me the PDF copy that you did. My comment to listeners is that, number one, yes, it is succinct. It's a little over 40 pages, about 46 pages. And what I think you did in this book, Melissa, is you laid the groundwork for why a person would even want to pursue scripture prayer. And then mm-hmm. you gave them a toolbox of how to do this, and you showed readers how to employ those tools. So to me, in a nutshell, it was a very informative book and a very inspiring book, I thought. So I wanted to share that with listeners as to what I thought, that it carries a strong message, especially, as you say, for those who are in a hurting time in their life, whether it be physical hurting, emotional hurting, spiritual hurting. I think that you really hit the nail on the head with this book, and thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, thank you, Patty, for the kind words, and all glory to God.
Yes, yes. I wanted to share, there were several things in the book that really caught my attention, but I just wrote down a couple here that I wanted to share. I love it where you say, your time with Jesus is like eating a meal to strengthen your soul. That's how important it is. It is as important as sitting down to a meal three times a day for your body. So I really like that. And another concept that I thought was great was when you talk about when praying for loved ones, pray for the things that will last throughout eternity, such as drawing closer to God, opening their hearts to revelations from God versus health, finances, etc., because those things are temporary and they're not going to be important in eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I there was a whole lot more, but I wrote down those two because they really caught my attention, because that's what I pray for my family. Is their spiritual health and their relationship with God and with Jesus and that sort of thing. Of course, I ask for their health and their safety and those things as well. But paramount to me is that relationship with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Share how listeners can connect with you. You talked about your blog. Tell us how listeners can access that.
Yes, my blog is available. My website is melissamclaughlin.org, and that's just my first name and last name. My last name is, so it's Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, and McLaughlin, M-C-L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N.org. And that's where I have my weekly blog posts are there. There's also a contact page. If anyone wanted to ask for prayer requests, you can submit them through the contact page. I'm also available on Twitter at M. McLaughlin Song, and also available on Facebook, Melissa McLaughlin.
Very good. Okay, so Melissa, what is next for you? I know that a person like you who has such a wonderful message to share doesn't just stop writing. So what's next in line for you?
Yes, well, I'm excited to see whatever the Lord opens doors for. But one is that I have completed another book and I have submitted the book proposal to an editor. I'm just waiting to hear back on that. That book is called Through the Bible with Jesus. That really resulted from when my kids were teens, I invited them. My husband and I always read through the Bible over the course of a year. We've been doing that for a long time. And I invited the kids to join me in reading the Bible through the year. And they were excited. They said yes. And we got started and then sputtered and tried again. And the whole thing, it just fell apart. We just couldn't seem to get the momentum, or we couldn't sustain it. So we just quit. And I felt so disappointed over that. I was disappointed in myself. I was not disappointed in my kids. I didn't expect them to tackle that without our help. But I was disappointed in myself and felt like I just hadn't helped them take that next step in, you know, growing and reading the Bible as a whole. And so I kind of had this like little tugging on my heart about that for a long time. And so after completing this first book, I started the second book. So what I've done in this book called Through the Bible with Jesus is I have taken an excerpt from each book of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and then also wrote a corresponding prayer with that. So it's 60, since there are 66 books of the Bible, it's 66 readings. Almost, you could think of it as a daily devotional of sorts, but it's not exactly a daily devotional because not all of the excerpts are the same length. Because, of course, some books of the Bible contain more content than others. So it's really intended to give the reader an overview of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Through that, through the excerpts and through the prayers that accompany it, I show how Jesus also is woven throughout the Bible from beginning to end, so that people with busy schedules and the busy lifestyle people have today who find it difficult to read through the whole Bible, it would give them the chance to experience the whole Bible and the whole biblical narrative in a more accessible format, more doable process. With 66 kind of like daily readings, they would get a sense of the whole Bible. So that's the next book that is in the works. So anyone who's out there can pray for, you know, the Lord to open doors for that to be published in the way, whatever way he chooses. So that's next on the agenda. And then, of course, my weekly writing for right now. And then I'll just be praying, you know, for what the Lord has in store after that.
Well, wonderful. Melissa, this has just been a joy talking to you this morning. I want to thank you so much for all that you've shared with us, for sharing your message with listeners. And I pray that God will continue to sustain you and help you through your writing and any physical challenges that you have. I hope that you're over all that and that you're able to enjoy as much of a healthy life as you can, and definitely a happy and fulfilling life. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Patty. What a joy to be able to meet with you here and just connect with your listeners as well. So thank you for this wonderful opportunity. It's been a blessing.
Listeners, in closing, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled pattysheene.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a More Information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.